Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Women's Trans Society show. Hello, hello. We have a special guest today.
Hi.
Back in the game.
Back in the podcast game. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, what are we talking about today?
Today we are going to talk about three reasons why creating the Tonal Nook is not happening, even though you've been training for years.
And I mean, we see that all the time. I mean, all the ladies that join us inside Women's Trans Society, most of them, I would say, have already been training at least for the last 1 or 2 years, some of them even longer, but still they're not like satisfied with the look, the shape they have created or not created. And while nutrition is one part of the game to create the toned look, we often see things in the training that are like not really on point to really create the shape and really look defined also then after going through a fat loss phase.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is kind of a mindfuck for a lot of people because they invest a lot of time, energy, money, effort into their training, into the nutrition. And at the end of the day, it's like they look quite good, but they are still not really happy with their body. And there are a few very specific things in training that are missing. And
they were missing for me for a very long time. Missing.
And it's also... So we are going to go over them, but it's not something that you do it one time and then it's resolved, but it's something that you constantly have to work on and that we also constantly work on with our clients. The first one is training execution. Yeah, training technique. And this is something that's super important. And when you think about it, it's kind of like the... Makes a lot of sense. Obviously, training technique is important. Training execution is important. But we are going to go a bit more in detail why this is so important.
Because I think also a lot of times we think about it. Yeah, the execution needs to be on point so that I don't injure myself. I think this, like, for a lot of people, like, this is in the back of their head. It's like, okay, I need to... have a good form when I'm training so that I don't injure myself. But what can also happen if you're like not executing an exercise the way it should be to hit the targeted muscle is that you don't grow there. And if you don't grow in the specific area, you will not create the shape you're after.
Yeah. So when you think about that hourglass shape, which is something that's quite popular, then there are specific body parts, specific muscle group that are a bit more at the forefront of the physique, let's say.
Which are they?
Most of the time it's going to be shoulders, back and upper back, to have like a kind of a V shape, then very small waist. So not a lot of muscle there. And then a lot of glutes. And also strong
legs.
Yeah. So if you want to grow those body parts, then obviously when you train, then you want to be able to really target and hit those muscles. And training execution is not just about the technique, but it's also going to be influenced by the setup you have and also by choosing the right exercise for you. So we are going to go over a few things that you want to have in mind to make sure that the training execution is the right one for the muscle you want to grow. But also you can double check if the exercise that you pick to grow that body part is really giving you what you want. Or maybe you can try a different setup or try a different exercise. So obviously the first thing you want to have is to make sure that you can feel the muscle working that you want to grow when you do an exercise. So one very good example is with your quads. So let's say you want to grow some quads and then you pick an exercise that could be a leg press, a hack squat, a squat, a pendulum squat,
a lunge,
but you feel, you don't feel anything in your quads, then you'll have problems growing this body part.
Mm.
Yeah. And maybe you can give a few examples for you. Because this is something you've experimented quite a lot over the years. So what have you found? Where you maybe at first thought like, hey, this is a great exercise for this body part, mm-hmm. but turned out it wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you tried a different exercise that was supposed to help you grow your quads, but then it really helped you grow your glutes, for example.
So especially last year has been like my last building phase, has been a lot about finding the right exercises to hit really the muscles that I wanted to grow. And what I've realized is it was super hard for me specifically to hit my glutes, and my, like, for example, RDLs, an exercise that I love and that I've doing now for 5 years. I've already done them like before.
Least, yeah.
Before I did like structured strength training, I already did like RDLs. And so last year I had them in my training program to grow my glutes because I thought, hey, this is a great exercise to grow my glutes, but it ended up being a great hamstring exercise.
Yeah.
And not that much a glute exercise. I mean, I get a stretch on my glutes, but before I get like a good stretch there, I get a really, really good stretch on my hamstrings. And so my hamstrings will do most of the work before even my glutes are doing anything here. And so this was like one realization for me last year that this will not be the exercise I would choose to grow my bum.
For you specifically.
Yeah. And then for me specifically. And then I did squats, safety bar squats. And again, there changing because you were also talking about like setup and like execution. And I found a way to place more tension on my glutes and working more with my glutes doing squats than I did before. So when you see it from the outside, when you look at me and I'm doing a squat, you would think like, ah, she's doing a squat, and then the other variation is the same squat. But the way I'm placing tension on the muscle is different one way or the other.
And one thing you did to achieve that was to turn your feet a bit more outward,
mm-hmm.
and not go as low as you could go, actually.
Yeah.
So you could go deeper,
yeah.
But you choose not to do it because then you are able to hold more tension in your glutes.
Exactly. So when I would go, like, I can go like all the way down as to grass, but then I would like just sit in like a deep squat and I would lose the tension in the really bottom position.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to find really the sweet spot of going as low as I can to get a really good stretch on the muscle, but still having the tension on my glutes to then push myself out of this bottom position.
Yeah. I have another example in mind. It's the pendulum squats.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pendulum is talked about as the ultimate machine to grow your quads, but it's actually an exercise that you choose also because you got a very, very good connection to your glutes.
Yeah, you? It's a very I mean, I also feel my quads working, but the feeling in my glutes is just, It feels like the muscle gets like ripped apart, especially if I go like slow, and being in this machine, which gives me a lot of like stability, allows me to go like really slow on the eccentric and control the bottom position really, really well, and then push myself again out of this bottom position is like,
yeah,
cherry on top.
I find this very interesting because like we are talking about the squat, and just by changing the position of your feet, then you are going to just feel the movement going somewhere completely different. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about it, like when you think about building your body, there's no constraint from a sport, like you have to perform certain lifts in a certain way, or like you don't have that. You can choose anything that works for you and then adjust it so that you really can hit the muscle you want to hit to grow that body part. And there are a few other things that we mentioned already. So one was getting a good connection to the muscle, getting a good stretch in the muscle. So maybe you can talk about that a bit.
So we do want to place a lot of tension on the muscle in the stretch position to promote muscle growth. This is like the sweet spot.
The sweet spot, yeah.
The sweet spot. We want to have that stretch, and we want to put a lot of tension on that stretch. And we really want to, like, especially in the bottom position of the lift, when the muscle is stretched, really control the movement there and not just, like, bounce around. So when you're going into a squat and you're just, like, dropping down, bouncing at the bottom position, and then coming up again, you will not get the same growth there as when you have a controlled eccentric phase, and then you're really, really controlling this bottom position of the lift.
Yeah, because what happens in your body is when you get into the stretch position, your body perceives this as a dangerous position because you don't have as much force. And it also want to protect your joint. So what happens is, as a reflex, you start to, your muscles are going to be contracted to create more tension to prevent you from going too far in a position where you cannot get out or where you risk to injure yourself. And automatically you have more tension in your muscle when you are in that stretch position. And then when you have to control it, and you add more weight, then you just have a lot of mechanical tension, which is crucial if you want to grow your muscle. And then the next thing is also you want to make sure that you have a pump. So if you choose an exercise, or if you execute an exercise, you want to make sure that when you are done after your first, second, third set, that you can really feel a pump in your muscle. This is also a very good indicator that you are hitting the muscle that you want to grow. It doesn't mean that more pump is going to lead to more muscle growth. It's just like an indication, a sign that the muscle you want to target is actually working.
Yeah. Currently, I don't have a pump.
You don't have a pump because you are in a calorie deficit?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad.
Yeah.
So you just feel flat. And it's like remembering like 1 year ago when I was in my building phase, or especially like last summer, I really felt juicy. I was like, I'm so pumped. Mm-hmm. I was so pumped after the, like, my whole body felt swollen.
Stroll dragon out.
Yeah, really. And now it's like, not really a pump, but my training also changed. So currently I'm not doing hypertrophy training. I'm not trying to grow muscles, so I will have less of a pump.
Let's talk about that, because I think this is also it's a part of training execution. So when you do hypertrophy training with the goal of building muscle, then you want to really make sure that you nail every millimeter of the movement, that you can control it, and that you can really feel the tension happening in your muscle. And right now you are doing another kind of training. What are you doing right now?
I'm doing more preparation for sprinting. So I have specific exercises where I'm explosive in my movements, which is like the complete opposite from last year. Last year was like all about like super controlled, slow, as you said, like controlling every millimeter of the of the movement. And now it's like bam,
bam, explode up. Bam.
Explode up, yeah, and pretty fast eccentric movement too. So it's very different.
Yeah. So when you really train for muscle growth and to create that toned look, you want to maintain and grow your muscle. So you really want to make sure that you can control every millimeter of the way to have that tension. Because if you go too fast, then you're going to lose a bit of that tension. Respectively, you cannot really control that the tension is there, and the chances that the tension goes somewhere else in other structure a bit and muscles that you don't really want to train, or in soft tissues, you know, tendons,
ligaments,
that kind of stuff, is significantly higher. And it's nice to have strong tendons and ligaments, but to change your look, it's not really like the thing that is going to help you achieve the toned look.
Yeah. So in what I see a lot with women in a building phase is not respecting that and shooting more for choosing higher and higher weights and like increasing the weights from one session to the next, even like in a week.
Yeah.
When they're going from one session to the next, which isn't always a good way to go, especially if you then cannot control the movement.
Absolutely.
So going slower there and being fine with not having like putting 5 kilo on the bar every week is totally, totally okay, especially in the upper body exercises.
This makes a very good transition to the next point. So let's just recap as far as execution. You want to choose an exercise that's going to allow you to create the tension in the muscle, and the first sign that you've done it well is because you can feel the muscle working when you do the exercise. Then afterwards you're also going to feel a pump, and then if you have that, you might feel soreness in that muscle, soreness and or weakness in that muscle in the hours and days after. And once you really nail that execution, slow controlled movement, then you want to make sure that you have the proper intensity for your training. And this is the second thing that we see a lot is missing with people that have been training for a long time, yet are still not really happy with the way they look, is because the intensity is just not there.
Yeah. And I also see it like oftentimes, so we do video form feedbacks for our clients on like all exercises throughout the entire training program. And oftentimes our clients think like this is just to make sure that the execution is right. But we also have a look at the training intensity, because oftentimes when they work with us and we make sure that the execution is good, the next thing we will have a look at is the training intensity, to really, really make sure we are not missing out there. Because you can then train with a like perfect technique, but if you are not training close to or even to failure, it will be hard to grow muscles. So if you're like having too many like reps in reserve, not training close to failure, your body will not positively change.
How does that look like? How are we able to see that on videos?
We see that especially with the speed of the movement coming like closer towards like the end of the set. And most of the times our clients send us the last set, especially the last reps of the last set that we want to see and have a look at. So that we can, especially with exercises like leg extension, leg curl, stuff like that, or rowing exercises, you can see that pretty well. If it's still moving, the last 2 reps, 3 reps, still moving, and they're not like making faces, then I know like there's some more room when the execution is still spot on.
Making faces is something that can also happen just out of habit and as soon as the second reps in the set. But just to make it clear, there are always different phases to the movement, and we want to go slow down, like the weight has to slowly go down to be very controlled. And then when we speak about the movement as going slower and slower as we come closer to muscular failure, then we speak specifically about the weight coming up. So what we always want to keep the lowering part of the movement, lowering the weight at the same speed. But then as you fatigue and as your muscle get more and more tired, then we want to see a slowing down of the movement, even though you try to be exactly as fast as in the first few reps.
Like extension is a great example.
It's a great example, and it's also a great example because leg extension will almost always burn. And sometimes we just like mistake that burning sensation and we think like, hey, I'm training close to failure because it starts to burn. Although it's actually not really close to...
It always starts to burn.
Yeah.
Like when you're crossing the 10th rep, it's like it's always burning. But then you can, then I still can get like 10 more reps out.
Depending on the weight. Yeah.
But it's like, it's often like... The sooner I cross the 10th rep, it feels like burning.
Yeah.
Lactate is like building up in the muscle.
Yeah. So you really want to make sure that you come close to the point where you try to push the weight up and be fast. But even though you try to do it, then the movement is slowing down up to the point where you try to push really hard, but the weight is not moving at all. And this is... training to failure. This is muscular failure. So that's the next thing that we see is missing for a lot of people and that we have to work on at the very beginning to dial that in.
Yeah. Especially like in the order, like we will now talk about the last thing.
Yeah.
I guess. Let's do that first and then I can say what I had to say.
Yeah. So the last thing is the volume, training volume. So we first want to make sure that the execution is on point, that we really hit the muscle we want to grow. Then we want to make sure that we hit that muscle with enough intensity by training close to or to failure. And then once we have that, then we want to make sure that the volume is right. So when you first start to train to failure, most of the time, you don't need as much volume as what you were previously doing. But then over time, your body is going to adapt. So maybe you need to increase the volume up to a point, and we want to make sure that it's still going to help you make progress, but at the same time that you're going to be able to recover from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear from you when you started to work with Pat last year, what happens in the first training cycle? Because he was like, hey, we are going to increase the volume week to week and we are going to try to see like how much volume you can tolerate. So maybe tell us about that because this is a bit funny.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I was done. I was never training in that kind of way. So we... dropped the volume pretty low. I had like 2 sets per exercise, and I first thought like, that's like
too little.
That's too little. I mean, 2 sets. Yeah. What's like 2 sets? But then we like increased. I then increased on every exercise 1 set per week, and I think the phase was like 6 weeks or 7 weeks. So yeah. I ended up with like, I also had a lot of exercises, quite a lot of exercises. So I was just like done.
You were like burnt out.
I was burnt out. I mean, my coach was happy. I think he was like, okay, you've done it right if you feel that way in your building phase. But yeah, I think what most people, they do it, or most women do it in the wrong direction. So even if the exercise execution is quite okay, then the next thing is they increase the volume. They do a lot of volume in their training without the intensity, instead of nailing the intensity first. Because when I think back, when I just started, I would have 4 or 5 sets per exercise, but my intensity was not there. So I was doing a lot of work for very little in return. And now I can do 3 sets per exercise or sometimes even just 2, but hit it with the right intensity, and I would get much more in return from that.
From the exercise, yeah.
Without fatiguing
a
lot.
Yeah. I think like your journey with RDL is actually very telling of the whole process. So when we first met and started working together, I remember there were a lot of RDLs in the different training days. RDLs or RDLs variation, so it could be also on one leg. And the weight was taught was with a lot of back extension, like a lot of it. And you had like monstrous back extensors.
Yeah.
So your lower back was just like pumped all the time. And I could almost like, yeah, I don't know, maybe almost 1 inch of my finger I could place like between
on my spine.
Between your erector spinae. And over time, like it changed, the execution changed, and you started also to dial in the volume, as you said. And last year, as you started working with Pat, you also made some changes in the execution, and it became very much a hamstring exercise for you, which I think like most of the time RDL is. It is some glutes, but for a lot of people, and especially for a lot of women, because of their hip structure, it's mostly a hamstring exercise. Mm. For me, it's very much a glute exercise because I don't have the same hip structure, and I really feel it a lot in my glutes. But point being, you changed that, and then you went in the first phase from 2 sets of RDL to 6 sets of RDLs. And
I was dying.
You were just wanted to prove that you could do it. and yeah, it was very hard at the end of the phase. It was just like, bleh, cannot do this anymore. And in the phases afterwards, then I think it not happened. It never happened again that you went so high with the RDLs.
No.
As far as volume goes, I think the most you did was like 4.
4 sets,
yeah. But then even then, you also dialed it back down.
Yeah.
And you were like averaging 2-3 sets, and it was actually enough.
Yeah.
To hit your hamstrings, you had like a great pump, you had muscle soreness afterward, and it was enough for you to be recovered for the next session, but still it was like more would be actually counterproductive.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I think it really helped me to learn to nail the intensity, because only by doing that I could see how much volume I was actually able to tolerate or not tolerate to grow. And doing everything more than that was not helpful, not moving me in the right direction. And so I think a lot of women are missing the intensity. They're not choosing the right weights. They are training for years. And they're doing like more and more and more because they think like, hey, there's like, it's not moving in the right direction or not as fast as I wanted to. I'm training for years and still I don't have the muscle growth I'm after. And so they are always like trying to find new exercises or add exercises or do more sets or do drop sets or whatever, like stuff like more of something that adds even more volume to that training. And they end up not getting the muscle growth they're actually after that will create the shape,
and it can actually be counterproductive because you're still going to create fatigue when you do this, and you are still going to need to recover from that. So your workouts are going to tire you down, and it tires you down, but without providing the stimulus that's going to help you grow muscle. So this is something that we always work on, especially at the beginning of the coaching process. is making sure the execution is good, then making sure the intensity is good with little volume. And then when this is like nailed down, then we start to see how much volume people can tolerate.
Yeah.
So if you are in that position where you've been training for a long time and you're still thinking like, hey, I want to look more defined, more athletic, I want to tone up, then maybe this is exactly what you need to be doing, is cut back down on the volume. Like, first make sure that the execution is very good, and then cut back down on the volume and make sure that you really get a grasp of the intensity.
Good summary.
Yeah, do you have anything to add to that?
I don't think so. It was really like spot on.
All right. Then that's it for today. I hope it was helpful. And if you liked it, then please subscribe to the podcast.
5-star review.
For the next episode, 5-star review. It helps us grow. And if we grow more, then we can also give more free stuff, free information. Yeah.
And if you want to learn more, get more input about training, nutrition, recovery, mindset, then please join us. We have a free community, the Strong Babes Club Free. I will drop the link in the description. We are a big tribe of women, plus Yannick, who are having fun currently doing a pull-up challenge. But yeah, join us.
Growing every day, so join the movement.
Join the movement. And see you inside.
See you inside.
Bye-bye.